Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We started yesterday our Chair of Unity octave. This charitable practice was blessed by the great opponent of modernism, Pope Saint Pius X, whose centenary of death we have this year. This unity octave invites all of us to offer our sincere prayers for our poor brethren of less fortune who still wander in their sins or in their blindness of faith outside the Church Christ established. This past and future week has also been and is the time of many of the Church martyrs. These heroes of the Christian faith died because they refused to bow their heads to worship the idols of false religion. The faith was for them something to die for. This sounds rather fanatical, doesn't it? And looking the lives of the martyrs with human eyes, their actions seem very foolish. Certainly, this God, called Jesus, would have fitted well among all the other ones, whether their name was Zeus, Mars, Jupiter, Mithra, or Allah, right? But the martyrs did not see their Lord in human eyes, but looked him as their only hope of salvation, and also the only one who could bring salvation to their persecutors. And here's how the Christian religion differs from all the other religions and movements that man could die for, that Church wishes all men, even to her persecutors, well. How greatly the martyrs loved not only God, but their fellow men as well, is seen really in the lives of all of them. But I'll tell you today about one of today's martyrs, Saint Canute, who was the king of Denmark in the 11th century. Denmark was then still basically a mission country, though missionaries had been in Scandinavia before. The Pope who then ruled, Saint Gregory the VII, wrote a letter where he commanded that the church buildings of Denmark were in need of protection. And the Pope also said that the reverence to the priests was in need of strengthening, and also that superstition and witchcraft had to be exterminated. There couldn't have been a better ruler and more prompt executor of Pope's will than Denmark's King Saint Canute. He started his reign by subjugating the rebellious enemies of the state, and after his victory, he humbly prostrated himself at the foot of the crucifix, laying there his crown and offering himself and his kingdom to the King of Kings. When Saint Gregory the VII had to flee the German Emperor's troops from Rome, many of the bishops who stayed loyal to the Pope fled to Denmark under the protection of Saint Canute. As the Pope wished, Saint Canute honored the priests and to raise the people's esteem of them, granted many privileges and immunities to the clergy. Also, as the true father of Danish nation, Saint Canute's charity and tenderness towards his subjects made him look for all possible ways by which he could ease them of their burdens and make them a happy people destined to heaven. But loyalty to the Pope caused the downfall of Saint Canute. When several of his citizens refused to obey him for his war trip to England, he ordered that for punishment they had to either pay a heavy fine or they could compensate their rebellion by submitting to pay tithes to the church. The church was then more in need for support than perhaps ever before since the Roman persecutions, for Saint Gregory VII had died in exile and imperial anti-pope was occupying Rome. But the rebels had so much aversion for giving money to the church and clergy that they rather chose to be fined. This, of course, was not what Saint Canute had wanted. He wanted his subjects to become Catholics and loyal to their true pastors. He still hoped that they would change their resolution, but he decided at least to make sure that they would pay the fine they were obliged. But they, being irritated at the severity of the collectors, rebelled again. And one day, when Saint Canute was in a church in prayer, the rebels surrounded the church. When he saw the danger that threatened his life, he confessed his sins at the foot of the altar and received Holy Communion, while his loyal troops defended the church doors. The saint, stretching out his arms before the altar, fervently recommended his soul into the hands of his Creator. And in this posture, he was struck to death and fell a victim to Christ. Dear faithful, Saint Canute, like all the saints, was a Christian who truly lived according to our Lord's command that we must love one another. But he loved those rebellious subjects of his so much that until his dying breath he refused blindly condoning their faults and instead loved them with clear eyes of faith. Modern day's world attitude is to lock religion inside the homes and to make it like some cultural peculiarity where one religion is as good as another. And the world, like those Danish rebels, hate all of God's saints who raise their voice saying that they must convert if they want to be saved. This has been the history of man for his whole existence. Before Christ, prophet Ezekiel received command from God, "Say to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, O house of Israel." When our Lord came to midst of men, he said to his apostles, If you had been of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. 1,000 years later, Saint Canute loved his subjects so much that he was willing to set his life in danger for the cause of making them support the Pope and the Church. And so all the way to Saint Pius X, whom one American bishop called so lovable, so gentle, yet so firm in his preaching of Jesus Christ to an unbelieving generation. The Church, like a loving mother, indeed, sometimes punishes her subjects as kingdoms do punish theirs, but also, like loving mother, even when she punishes, she always looks for her children's best, even when they are ungrateful or even persecute those who try to make them correct their ways. And that's why true Church can never allow any man to live in error. And our Lord did not pray that they may all become one, but that they would all be one, as Father is in Christ and Christ in Father. So, dear faithful, during this week, pray for the conversion of sinners and infidels. The Church weeps and prays for her lost sheep, but she will never say to them that sin is a virtue or that falsehood is truth. And those who have responded and stay faithful to God's truth and mercy, for them are all the saints of God, like Saint Pius X and Saint Canute, are set as models and intercessors. Through their mouths, God called the nations to convert, as he once called by the mouth of Prophet Amos, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Then truly will the Lord, the God of hosts, be with you as you claim. Hate evil and love good, and let justice prevail at the gate. Then it may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will have pity on the remnant of Joseph." As the Church today put us as the witnesses of his first miracle in Cana, when he, from his Blessed Mother's intercession, turned water into wine, beg this week grace for you and all men. Ask that our souls, if they have been cold as water, would now turn into warm wine that will lead us and all those still in darkness to follow our one and true Master with joy and enthusiasm. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.